Okay, good evening. Good evening, everyone. I don't know when exactly it starts recording, but broadcasting live, January 6th, 2016. Back on with our weekly meditations at McMaster, and we're going to keep trying with 3 times a week, actually. And next week we'll have our 5-minute meditation lesson. I've got someone helping me out with that, hopefully. I have to test it. I haven't done a 5-minute meditation. I've never taught meditation in 5 minutes. Not formally. So I'll have to figure out what's my elevator pitch, I think is what they call it. So we're gonna set up mats. And sorry, I didn't hear you.
You can practice with us.
Right, it's a 5-minute. Good idea. Okay, so the basis of meditation is about objectivity. I don't know if I want to get too philosophical because they shut out. But we're trying to see things as they are. We're trying to see things objectively without reacting to them. So what we're going to do is we're going to remind ourselves, in general, this is this. So pain is pain, thoughts are thoughts, anger is anger, depression is depression, and we're not going to react to anything. Because, you see, when you react to things, this multiplies them and continues them and they snowball out of control. So when you experience pain, if you can just experience it as pain, it doesn't end up bothering you. When you feel angry and then you say angry, you remind yourself that you're angry, then it doesn't turn into a fight or a problem. It doesn't make you want to do bad things or say bad things. If you have a thought, or if someone's shouting at you, and you just see it as a thought or as a sound, just as the experience of it, then it won't hurt you. How many minutes is that?
Oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't counting.
You're not counting.
Well, the last time you had a counter on your side of the hangout, I'm sorry.
That was about a minute, I think, right? A couple minutes? Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Close your eyes. And, well, maybe I won't tell them to close your eyes. First I have to say how we do it. So how we do this is just simply reminding ourselves. You pick a word that reminds you what's going on. Like, for instance, if you feel pain, you remind yourself just with one word, pain. And that becomes your meditation. You'd say to yourself, pain, pain. I don't think I'm having them close their eyes yet. I think this is still eyes open. I made a mistake there. So you say pain, pain. If you have a thought, you just say thinking, thinking. If you hear a sound, like all this noise of these people, because we're right in the middle of the hallway, really. It's kind of funny. You say hearing, hearing. And so this is the skill that we're trying to cultivate. So the technique that I'm going to show you to do this is to train you to do this. So we pick something that's neutral. We'll pick our breath. Focus on the breath. When your breath comes into your body, your stomach will rise. When your breath goes out of the body, your stomach will fall. You don't feel it, you can put your hand there, but you just say to yourself, rising, falling. You can close your eyes and do it. You don't say it out loud, you just remind yourself in your mind, rising, falling. And that trains you to do that. Once you can do that, then you begin to extrapolate it into, apply it in the rest of your life. So let's try that now. And then I'll have them do that after a minute or so, probably have 1 minute left. Then I'll say, okay, and now I want you to apply the same concept of seeing your stomach move clearly. Apply it to things that really matter, like when you feel pain, remind yourself pain, pain. When you have thoughts, remind yourself thinking, thinking. You have emotions, remind yourself, angry, frustrated, bored, sad, worry. When you want something, wanting. When you like something, liking. When you hear sounds, hearing, seeing, And see, the thing is, we don't have a time limit. It's whenever they want to get up. If they want to sit there and talk to me for a while, well, I think that's fine. But I'm not sure how many mats to have. I think we'll have to experiment. Because I think it's going to be too noisy for people to be too far away, so it might be like me and two other people at a time. Any more than that, and it might get too hard for them to hear. But I think we're going to set up a nice carpet, rug or something, and real sitting mats, and then tell people to take their shoes off. You going to do that? I don't think there's any way around getting them to take their shoes or boots off.
Or maybe the yoga mats if a carpet is hard to come by.
Right. We could just put out a few yoga mats and just leave it at that, right?
That would be simple.
Four yoga mats together or something. The other thing is how to get all this to the university. You know, the sign. I guess it's not really carryable at that point. See, we're supposed to have a locker. Tomorrow I'm going to find out about our locker, why we don't have a locker for our club, because every club should have a locker. But we don't. Yet, that I know of. Anyway, that's future plans here. So that seems doable, no?
Yes, and on your timing, after I realized that I wasn't timing it for you, that was 2 minutes. That was only 2 minutes, so.
What was 2 minutes?
From the point that I realized that from the point that I hadn't been timing it, from there to the end, it was 2 minutes. So I think you were under 5 minutes altogether.
Good.
Because the whole second half was only 2 minutes.
Good. Did I leave anything out?
No.
All right.
I mean, people will have questions probably,
the sign then. It's misleading. The sign is misleading. False advertising. It's only a 2 minute meditation.
No. That gives them more time to actually meditate.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's part of the lesson. It's going to be great fun. I hope so. I got to get someone to take pictures. Maybe even make a video of it. Put it on YouTube. I should go on the Silhouette, actually. I should talk to the Silhouette, the McMaster University newspaper, and the radio as well. Put out a press release. That's what I'll do. We have to put out a press release. We did this for the meditation. We did this for the peace walk. We did. And they interviewed me on radio. So, questions, huh?
We have questions. This one wasn't exactly directed to you, but it's probably a good one to answer anyway. What I don't know yet is, why do you call him Bhante instead of Yutadhamma?
Yeah, but don't I answer this one like every week?
No, it just seems that way.
Oh. I have answered it before.
There's new people all the time.
Sorry?
There are new people all the time.
No.
New people joining this group all the time.
Oh, but those questions you think people can answer amongst each other. Someone else can answer.
Okay. Bhante, I was very glad to hear that you get to go see your teacher again. Would it be possible for us to come together as a community and put something together for you to offer to Ajahn Tong? And if so, what would be appropriate? Thank you, Bhante.
That'd be great. I'm not really thinking that I'm going to go. It was, you know, it's been bugging me that I haven't talked to him about this new monastery, but it's not really worth flying across the world to do it. It's not, you know, it's not like I've got a free ticket to go, so it would have to be paid for, which is a considerable expense. So, yeah, absolutely. If I go, let's keep that in mind, but it probably won't be. I don't know. We'll see, because there's talk that they might support some of the ticket anyway. I'll see if it's really there's a legitimate conference going on as well. But the only real reason to go would be to talk to my teacher. And he already knows about the place. I just haven't told him myself, haven't talked to him, haven't gotten his instructions and his blessing and all that.
Did the Buddha know why the universe exists?
I think the word, I think why is problematic. You know, it's a question that doesn't, it's like asking an innocent man why he beats his wife. It's like asking why does a tree exist? What is the purpose of a tree? It's a ridiculous question. It's a sort of a theistic question, really. Because the only answer is God. You know? It's a very human thing to want to find a purpose for things. Right? We've started to we differentiated ourselves from ordinary animals by our ability to cultivate tools, right? So the idea of things having a purpose, and if things don't have a purpose, we destroy them or we get rid of them. We remove them. You know, that we've had a very utilitarian bent to us, in this sense. So, there's no reason to think that anything has a purpose. I mean, I guess if the question were instead, how is it that the universe exists? I don't know whether the Buddha knew or not. But again, I think it's probably a bad question. It's incomprehensible to us that there shouldn't be an answer to that. But I think that's our problem. I think it's just the way we think.
I have anxiety issues, and once I become too anxious about something for a few days continuously, it will get harder for me to meditate, and eventually I stop meditating until the thing I'm worried about is subsided. Hmm. How can I make sure I don't stop meditating even when I'm anxious about something?
Well, you should meditate on the anxiety. Look up some of the videos I've done on anxiety particularly, because it's an interesting one. Anxiety, it's fairly easy to see that a lot of it's just physical, and physical aspects of anxiety aren't anxiety. If you go to video.sirimangalo.org, we got a whole bunch of my videos categorized, and I think anxiety is under mental problems or something.
Yes.
And another thing you can do is lie down, do lying meditation. But definitely meditate on all the aspects of what you call anxiety, because much of it is physical. And the anxiety only lasts a moment. And if you're patient and keep noting anxiety, then you're doing very well. You're learning a lot, you're studying the anxiety, and you're meditating. So it doesn't actually interrupt your meditation, it becomes a part of your meditation. The thing that you're anxious about, note that thing. Thinking or whatever.
How do I balance my mind between lay terms and higher states of awareness through meditation? I look around me and see people unaware of life itself, and they seem to be in a permanent state of sleep. I'm finding this very difficult. People seem to be more focused on self-gain rather than global gain.
Well, there's no balancing them. They're opposites. The Dhamma goes in the opposite direction of material gain. So, it's the conflict that you face. You have to choose in the end one or the other. But I mean, that's in the end if you decide that you want to become a monk or something.
Do What exactly does reflection of an action mean in the quote of today? Thanks.
We have to read the whole sutta. Reflection here means before you do something, you should reflect, will this be to my detriment or to the detriment of others? Will this be a harmful thing that I'm about to do? If so, then you shouldn't do it. If not, then go ahead and do it. In the same while you were doing it, and the same after you have done it, was that thing that I did harmful or beneficial? And if it is harmful, then you should not do it again. While you're doing it, if you realize it's harmful, you should stop. So reflect in that way. I mean, talk to his son, who was a young boy, and it's very fatherly. It's a unique dialogue that these two have, father and son.
If you are mindful of what it is, neutral and with no desire, if you accept things for what they are, is there any reason to help others? Is there any reason to change things?
Not really. Except that it's the right thing to do. It's the natural thing to do. We're not stones. We don't just sit around doing nothing. So part of your equanimity is what appears to be compassion. And I think you could even argue that it is compassion, but it's just a word. I mean, you act in the right way. So enlightened beings appear to be very compassionate. But some people would think, well, they're not really compassionate because they don't really care, right? They don't really care, but the natural thing to do is to help others.
Just as a Christian prays the Lord's Prayer on a daily basis, do you have any Buddhist texts which you read or reflect on daily, aside from your YouTube Dhammapada videos?
Yeah, there's... we reflect on the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. That's the most common. So we have reflections about the qualities of the Buddha, the qualities of the Dhamma, the qualities of the Sangha. And then there are other dhammas that are to be reflected upon daily. There's a list of 5 for lay people. There's a list of 10 for monks. They're called the Abhinna Paccavekana Dhamma. So what are they? They are... I will get old, I will get sick, I will die, I will lose everything I have. I can't quite remember. Oh, and I'm heir to my karma. Look at the chanting guide. There's this Theravada chanting guide that has them.
I believe a person who wishes to ordain must have the approval of parents. Is that necessary for a grown adult? What if the parents don't agree?
Yes, technically that's necessary of a grown adult. If parents don't agree, then you starve yourself until they give in. Or threaten to throw yourself from a cliff or something like that. Maybe that's a bit far. But there's something about that. Monks who actually did that, who threatened to kill themselves. But the starving yourself may work. I don't know. Technically, you can't become a monk, sorry. You could go and stand in front of their front door, sit on their porch until they give in.
Does that happen a lot? Because people ask that question a lot, that parents don't agree.
If your parents are evangelist Christians,
that might be a little tough.
Yeah. Or if you got a... Yeah, no, I mean, many, many people who are not Buddhist would forbid their children. I mean, even when they get older. My grandmother would never give consent. Although sometimes it's interesting, they'll just say, do whatever you want, kind of thing. And they're like, woohoo!
Is there much difference between a monk from Thailand and the teaching they learn from a monk from Nepal?
Well, every monk teaches differently. But there's also different kinds of Buddhism.
If a parent is deceased, I assume their approval is not needed. But what if, that was just a comment, but what if you knew the parents did not approve and then they passed away, and you knew that was not
their
wish?
As long as they're dead.
As long as they're dead, it's okay, even if they never would have gone for it if they were alive?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not about disrespecting them, it's about making them feel bad.
Okay.
They're dead, they're gone.
Okay.
In fact, it's kind of it's an interesting rule, because the Buddha only gave the rule as out of respect for his father, who then passed away. But he instated it as a rule, and you know, a lot of the times the reason the Buddha instated it isn't just the only reason he instated it, like the impetus. So it's not to say that he didn't agree with his father. I mean, I think you could argue that there are extenuating circumstances, but Sariputta did. Sariputta ordained his nephew without his nephew's parents' consent. He said, they have wrong view, I'm his father.
A suggestion, not a question, but a suggestion to find a way to remind on YouTube the link to this page. I think you have like a template set up for your YouTube videos, don't you, Bhante?
Yeah, but I'm too lazy. I mean, really, I'm going to add it to every video?
No, but isn't there a template that you can use for your videos?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I just copy-paste. I do it for all the Dhammapada videos, but...
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it for every daily Dhamma video.
I thought with your older videos, they had so much information on it. I know, I don't think that you probably were typing that in every time. I just assumed there was some sort of a template.
Yeah.
But maybe you were just copying and pasting from...
Well, I have it saved in the Firefox extension. But it's not like it does it for me itself. I have to copy it in.
I see. I can try to put that in as a comment so people know, because people still do ask questions on the YouTube YouTube comments. So.
Well, there you go. Someone will just say, hey, if you want to ask questions, go here.
Yeah. I do put that in when I notice it.
Okay, we don't want this place overrun. Small is okay. We'll grow up too soon, as it is.
How are classes so far, Bhante?
Okay. Buddhism in East Asia looks really good. I just had a class today. The professor's his specialty is Indian Buddhism, which is neat because that's my interest, of course. But in Indian monasticism is his thesis he's doing his PhD on. So I feel better about it than before, because I wasn't really that keen on East Asian Buddhism, but he sounds like someone who will be interesting to talk to.
Yeah.
And he's a really gregarious sort of person, so he certainly will keep it interesting. Some people can't teach. Nice people, but they're too timid, or they're too anxious, or too anxious to please. So sometimes the professor will make these silly jokes, and they just don't know how to be funny, and they try to be funny, and it's just teach, you know, it's cool, we don't need to be entertained. Some people do, I suppose. And it's intimidating. You get up there and all these students with glassy eyes and slouching or on their phones. It's really intimidating when you're in front of a room and everyone looks bored about what you're saying. So if you're not hard, if you're not strong, you really just have to ignore your audience sometimes.
Are they large classes?
Yeah, pretty large. This one is a third year class, but it's a cross listed with arts and science, which is neat, because arts and science, which was what I was in years ago, and it's this really special program at McMaster for keeners, for people who are just looking to learn. So we got a bunch of upper year art sci people, which is awesome. And tomorrow I think I'm switching into another third year peace studies class, because today I had a class on peace and popular culture, but I'm afraid it sounds like it's going to be a lot of music and movies, and
no.
I think that's not really appropriate. Trying to think, could I justify that? Yeah, I don't think so. It's also
that's a bit of a quandary.
Yeah, it's also newspapers. So I was thinking, well, maybe we're looking at newspapers and newspaper articles. So, but I don't think so. I think peace studies is going to turn out to be not as interesting as I thought it was. It's very much about, you know, external peace, you know? Not so much about inner peace.
Like people that go to protests and get really angry protesting about peace.
And also like brokering peace, peace talks. There's all that kind of stuff. Like Peace Corps, whatever that is. Peace Corps,
yeah.
In Canadian, we used to have the Blue Berets, the what are they called? Peacekeepers? I'm thinking religious studies actually would be more interesting for me. I thought it wouldn't, but I'm kind of keen on religious studies now. Is that all our questions?
Just one more. Did you hear back from TEDx, Bhante?
No, let me see. They just closed applications on January 4th, so that was 2 days ago. So I think it's still early. I'm not holding my breath. I mean, not that it's a big deal. But I'm not really hopeful, because I don't probably fit the mold of a student, and it's supposed to be student-based. So I don't know. Maybe they like it, maybe they don't. The other thing, it was supposed to be about change, and I didn't talk about change in my application. I realized that afterwards. I forgot that I should try to tie it into the paradox of change. No biggie. I've got lots of work to do as it is.
Yeah, it certainly is about change. I mean, introducing technology to ancient teachings is all about change. But
yeah, that's right. I think it's close enough that they can imply it, but I probably should at least use the word change. Yeah. Okay, that's all then. Good night. Thanks for joining us. Have a good
night.
Thank you, Robin.
Good night.